Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Hello, everyone. Dr. Jennings is with us via Skype. There's a Bible text that says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." That's Matthew 6:33, King James Version. But hey, where exactly should we start seeking? Where is the kingdom of God, and when will we know if we've found it? Dr. Jennings, help us out.
Yeah, and this is a great question because, you know, I ask people this, and you'd be surprised at some of the things that people think. Is the kingdom of God found in a denomination, for instance? If I find the right denomination, is the kingdom of God found in the right rituals or the right ceremonies or the right sacraments? Is the kingdom of God found in the right list of doctrines, legal methods, or public attestations in some way? Jesus said, in his day, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourself do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying." That's Matthew 23:13. Get your mind around what that means. These people he were talking to, these were not pagans. Right. These were not Romans. Right. These were the Pharisees. These were the people who were teaching out of the Torah, the scripture. They were teaching the religious instructions from Scripture, yet Jesus said teaching from Scripture, they were closing the kingdom of God in people's faces.
Closing the kingdom of God.
By teaching out of the Scripture.
Yeah, that is amazing because you'd think that's where the safety is. Oh, I'm teaching out of the Scripture. I'm safe. I can say what I need to say here because it's coming from Scripture.
And then Jesus said in Luke 17:20, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observations, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." How much of religious instruction has taken the scripture to create a system of rules or behaviors or deeds to be done and sins to be shunned? In other words, your careful observations. But Jesus is saying the kingdom of God does not come with careful observations. It is within you. So if we're pursuing the kingdom of God is something that operates within us, in the heart, in the mind. What kind of kingdom is that?
Does that automatically happen? I mean, are we born with that kingdom of God in us?
Interesting question. So from my understanding, it says in Genesis, after Adam sinned, that God, speaking to the serpent, said to the serpent, which is Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman." Mm-hmm. The woman representing the church or the people that respond yes. to salvation, and Satan is the serpent. And so after Adam sinned, his nature was changed to align with the principles of Satan's kingdom, fear, selfishness, carnal nature, however you want to describe it. Right. God did not abandon this human race, but began to intercede or intervene in human hearts with a desire for something better, a longing for love and intimacy with God, something that we were not satisfied from this world, a hungering and a thirsting, if you will, for the kingdom of God. So there's a longing that God put there for us to seek it. But no, we are not born with the kingdom of God within us. We are offered to have the kingdom of God restored within us, and we have a desire for it, but we must, as Jesus said, if we seek the kingdom of God with all our heart, then we will find it.
You know, there's that Bible text, John 5:39, that says that you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. Even Christ was saying the scriptures may not be what you think they are. So let me ask you, what are the scriptures for if we don't have the kingdom of God in there?
Paul said in Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So again, I'm making this distinction between religious observances, don't eat this, do eat that, go to church on this day, pay this much in tithe, do this sacrament, go to this place, say this Hail Mary or this Our Father. In other words, all these deeds that we do, That is not the kingdom of heaven. I'm not suggesting that any specific one of those things is somehow wrong. Right. I'm just suggesting that those are not the kingdom of heaven. Okay. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy from the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of heaven operates within you. It is a transformation of the fundamental motives of the heart such that we align ourselves with the methods, principles, values, and practices of heaven. We love what God loves. We hate what God hates. What does God hate? God hates sin. God hates pain. God hates suffering. God hates death. God hates harm. God hates evil. We hate all those things too because they're destructive. That's why we hate them. Right. We love what God loves, and God's ways are life and health and joy and happiness. And the Holy Spirit creates that within our hearts when we trust Him. And thus, when we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, He brings these principles or the kingdom of heaven within us when we get new motives and new desires. And there's metaphors for this: reborn, recreated, circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit, die to the old man, rise to the new man. These are all describing a fundamental change in the interworkings of our deep emotional drives and world so that we have new desires that long to be a blessing to others rather than long to take from others and exploit others, which is what the world principles are.
If we have God's love in us, God's kingdom in us, I hear you saying, then we love what God loves. If that's the case, there would be no caste system. There would be no racism. There would be no homophobia. There would be no poor person who is struggling and people turning their back on him. That's what I hear you saying, and that sounds beautiful to me.
So you're exactly right. All racism, all exploitation, all caste systems are all manifestations of sin working in the heart. Mm-hmm. Fear and selfishness, seeking to make oneself advance above others through the exploitation or taking advantage of other people to empower oneself. That's all part of Satan's kingdom. And if you remember in the Bible, it described when Satan started his rebellion in heaven that he sought to rise his throne above the heights of the north and sit on the throne of God. He wanted to move up and take more power. Right. Jesus' kingdom was described in Philippians. He who was equal with God did not think equality with God was something to be held on to or grasped, but surrendered that into the form of the servant all the way to death at the cross. And so we find Jesus surrendering power in order to uplift the masses through his sacrifice, where Satan seeks to exploit the masses to uplift himself through the sacrifice of others. And you look at the kingdoms of the world, all the kingdoms of the world are Satan's. That's why Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And how do all the kingdoms of the world work? By taxing or taking from the masses in order to empower a few elites to rule over them. And that's the systems of this world. That is contrary to the kingdom of God. The more we have, the more we give to bless others. And then the more you give, the more you receive in return. And the more you receive in return, you use to uplift and bless others.
If we have a listener right now who recognizes in his or her heart that there's some racism there, there's some homophobia there, there's some I'm better than you are there, and they say, "Oh, that's not right. I need to start seeking the kingdom of God." Where do they start seeking? What's the first step they should take?
To recognize reality, the operational landscape of God's kingdom is the living landscape of human hearts and minds. Mm-hmm. Where God's kingdom functions, operates, is human hearts and minds. That's where love functions. That's where truth functions. That's where lies function. Yes. And so the battle between Christ and Satan is not in record books. It's in hearts and minds. Mm-hmm. Sin does not happen in registries in heaven. And recovery from sin does not happen through legal declarations in registries in heaven. Sin happens in hearts and minds. Recovery from sin happens in hearts and minds. Fear and selfishness happens in hearts and minds. Love and trust happens in hearts and minds. And thus, the foundational landscape where the kingdom of God is operating is in the inner workings of hearts and minds. And so if somebody says, "I can see I have fear, and that fear has led me to be selfish or to be bitter or to be arrogant or to be narcissistic or to be racist or sexist or something," then you say, "Yep, that's an evidence of the sickness, the sin sickness." In the same way, if you had fever or you had a productive cough, you would say that fever and cough is evidence that I've got pneumonia. I need to get treatment for that. You don't beat yourself up for pneumonia. Yeah. You go and get treatment, or you don't and you get worse. And so when you recognize these fears and selfishness and things that lead you to be bitter or hateful or exploitive of others or racist. If you see that, you go, oh, Lord, search me and see the wicked way in me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. I can see there's sin sickness in my heart, and I don't like it. I want to be more like you. Send your spirit to begin cleansing the inner workings of my heart with new motives and new desires.
I'm reminded of something you said on another program, Dr. Jennings. You mentioned that if a patient comes to a doctor and sits down and the doctor says, oh man, we've run some tests and you have cancer, which means you're an awful person. Shame on you for having cancer. I don't want to ever see you again because you have cancer. And a lot of people think of God that way. And God is judging us based on the disease we have, as opposed to what? How does God look at us, cancer-filled? What's in his heart when he looks at us?
So that's a great example, because the difference then is what law lens you believe God uses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The reason people are afraid of God in that way is because they see him running a universe no different than a Roman dictator Caesar ran Rome, or any dictator today runs any human government, a system of laws that require oversight and enforcement of law breaking. Yeah. And thus, law breaking is bad stuff you do, and you get in legal trouble, which requires external punishment by the power in charge. What you describe with the cancer, however, is a different set of laws. We call those the laws of health. Yeah. And when we violate the laws of health, it causes physiological harm and disease that without remedy results in death. That's God as creator. He created the universe, and his laws are the laws upon which life exists and operates. Breaking those laws result in harm or injury. Thus, God's judgments are the same as a doctor's judgments. We call those diagnoses. God assesses and diagnoses accurately the sickness within us. And then when we go to God, he searches and identifies that sickness, and he has a remedy that he has procured through Jesus Christ that will be applied via the Holy Spirit into the heart and mind to give us a new heart and right spirit, so that we who were dead in trespass and sin, terminal sin condition with which we were born, we get a new life in Christ in which the old is gone and new has come. And so if we have this idea that God's law works like human law, then it makes us afraid of him, and we create theologies that are designed to hide us from him, like having Jesus stand between us and the Father so the Father can't see us.
Right.
That would be like going to the doctor with cancer and taking your healthy brother and say, examine my healthy brother, put him in the MRI, and then any good thing you find about him, write it in my medical record, even though I'm over here necrotic with cancer.
Oh, man.
So the truth is, we understand God as creator. We come to him and say, yeah, I'm sick. I was born this way. It's not my fault. You know it's not my fault. The only choice I have is to accept the remedy or not. And that's what I want. I want your remedy in my life, Lord. And then we begin cooperating with him, and we never have to fear God as our enemy.
I am so glad today, Dr. Jennings, that doctors hate cancer and love the patient, and God hates sin and loves the sinner. We can rejoice in that, can't we?
Yes, we can. And just like the doctor-patient relationship, though, God cannot heal people who cheat.
Yeah,
and the doctor cannot heal the patient. He gives you chemotherapy, a medicine that will put the cancer in remission, and as you leave his office, you throw the medicine over the fence and cheat.
Yeah.
You're not getting better. And so people who say, yes, I've chosen Jesus as my Savior, and then go out and cheat by not actually following the Savior's instructions or the treatment plan that is designed to get us well, won't get well, even though they claim that they have been legally declared to be perfectly healthy, even though they're not.
Yeah. Well, this has been a good discussion here. Dr. Jennings has been with us via Skype, and we've been talking about seeking the kingdom of God. And to help you in your seeking, listener, we have a website, comeandreason.com. There you'll find many resources available to you, books and podcasts and television programs, and also some free stuff. Go there and check it out. There's a whole audiobook that you can listen to by joining comeandreason.com. That doesn't cost a thing, and you can enjoy that all at comeandreason.com. Go ahead and just check it out. Dr. Jennings, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your heart today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Charles.
And this program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com.
This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.